I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a scripture that is often quoted by believers, yet very few actualize this truth in their lives. Why is it that so many believers mentally acknowledge that they can do all things through Christ, but still struggle to overcome trials, temptations, or lack the confidence to fulfill God's purposes for their lives? As children of God, we are called and empowered to live a limitless lifestyle in Christ Jesus. In today's episode, we're going to discuss how to live a limitless lifestyle by embracing kingdom mindsets. Let's talk about it.
We are CVXA, a student faith movement for all nations across the Central Valley College campuses. We believe in a Holy Spirit-led life filled with real devotion, real brotherhood, and real responsibility. Our prayer for you is that you will learn and grow through today's podcast.
Hey, what's going on, Central Valley Chi Alpha fam? I am super excited about today's topic. I am very passionate about the topic of mindsets. So let's jump into it. You know, Jesus told us in Mark 9, verse 23, all things are possible for one who believes. We are called and empowered to live a limitless lifestyle in Christ Jesus. My question is this: why is it that so many of us feel limited in our faith? If we want to have a limitless lifestyle, we must embrace kingdom mindsets. Mindsets are absolutely critical to the Christian walk, especially as we're walking in leadership. The self-talk and self-perception that we have about ourselves actually impacts us more than we actually realize. Did you know that according to a study conducted by the Laboratory of Neuroimaging at the University of Southern California, the study concluded that the average person has 6,200 thoughts throughout a day. That's a lot of thoughts throughout a day. That makes sense as to why the proverb says, Proverbs 27:3, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, when you break that down in simpler words, what it's essentially saying is this: your thoughts create actions. Your consistent actions become your habits. Your habits begin to produce your character, and your character will determine your destiny. I'll say it again. The thoughts that you embrace will inevitably make actions in your life. Those consistent actions will become habits, and those habits that you have will produce your character, and your character will always determine your destiny. Gifts can get you into a door, but your character will keep you there. This is why character is so important. But notice that the destiny that God has called you to is hinging on your thoughts. I like it. Greg Rochelle says this: a bad mindset is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until it's changed. It doesn't matter how much strength, how much wisdom, it doesn't matter how much like authority you have. If you have a bad mindset, you won't be able to go anywhere. Just like it doesn't matter how strong and how powerful an engine is in a vehicle, if the tires are flat, that vehicle will not go anywhere. Your self-talk shapes who you become and influences you and the world that you have around you. Your words actually really matter. They create the reality that you are currently living in. For example, when it comes to the topic of prayer, there's two ways of going about it. You can say something to the nature of, you know what, I have to pray today because I have to. Or you could say, man, I choose to pray because prayer is oxygen to my soul as a believer. Do you see the difference? One is giving a mentality that says I have to, and it produces work and strife. The other one says, man, this is a privilege, this is a joy, and will determine the outcome of my prayer life. I often think about me as a campus missionary. I get the privilege of raising a budget to do what I do full time. It is one of God's greatest gifts. But I hear too many missionaries saying, I have to raise my budget, as opposed to, man, I get to discover God's provision for my life. Now, both of them have the same outcome. We both get the beautiful responsibility of asking people to join us in the cause of Christ to make disciples on our campus. But for the missionary that chooses to say, I have to raise my budget, versus the missionary says, I get to raise my budget and I get to discover God's provision for my life. Man, that second missionary gets to go on a missionary vision and an adventure to see how God will provide. And so our words really do affect our reality. But our words come from what are we meditating on, aka our thoughts. Now let's talk about three mindsets that could potentially delay or derail you in your walk. Now before I read the scripture, I want to put a little bit of context. God had delivered his people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, and he had promised them, I will take you to your promised land. It will be a land flowing with milk and honey. There will be an abundant amount of agriculture. There will be plenty in the land for you to live off. So you're going to essentially go from slavery to just prosperity. And all the land I've set aside just for you. And so upon them getting ready to go to the promised land, they decide to send 12 spies into the land. And so when the 12 spies go into the land, they discover something that God did not say to them prior to, which is there are giants in the land. But here's the thing. God told them that he would give them that land. It didn't matter if there were giants. But the spies came back, specifically 10, and this is what their report said. It said in Numbers 13, 33, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now notice this. They said, and we, the Israelites, were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. This is a very unique passage because what it did not say is immediately that they were grasshoppers in the sights of the giants. They first said that they were grasshoppers in their own sight, meaning they were looking inward, which brings me to my first mindset that will derail you. When we have a grasshopper mentality, we think that we are small, therefore we will always remain small. The Bible actually instructs us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Whenever we get our eyes off of ourselves and we fix it on to Jesus, we see Jesus in his power, in his authority, in the freedom that comes with him. But the grasshopper mentality is a subtle form of pride. Why? Because it keeps your eyes fixed on you, your limitations, and your inabilities, instead of fixing our eyes on God's goodness, greatness, and power. So again, we want to be careful of the grasshopper mentality that keeps our eyes fixed on ourselves. The second mentality that we want to be careful of is not to embrace the poverty mentality. The poverty mentality says that there is never enough. There's a pie mentality, meaning if I give you a piece of this, there won't be enough left over for me. If I give this, there won't be enough. Listen, a generous person will never lack. In fact, Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will always prosper. Whoever refreshes others will he too be refreshed. In other words, when you give away, God will always make sure you have more than enough. Why? Because God is the source. When you are the source and you recognize that you are just a conduit of God's blessings, you will always have more than enough. Here's the thing. Poverty mentality will keep us from being generous with our time, with our emotion, with our money, or any other resources. Remember, God is the one that supplies and gives. Let's not give into a poverty mentality. The third mentality or mindset that will derail us is I don't have what it takes mentality, or a simpler way to say it is the orphan mentality. The orphan mentality says, I'm not enough. I didn't get the same advantage as so-and-so. This was never shown or given to me, so therefore I can't. I can't because fill in the blank. The orphan mentality from a wounded heart of lack. And now, granted, all of us got dealt different cards in life. We can't do anything about the cards that we were dealt, but we can choose to determine what we do with the cards that are given to us. Here's the thing. An orphan mentality will cause us to make so many excuses that we actually excuse away the word, the power, and the promises of God for our lives. This is why the orphan mentality is dangerous. Again, just to circle back, we want to be careful not to embrace a grasshopper mentality, which is we are small. We don't want to embrace the poverty mentality, which is we don't have enough. And we don't want to embrace the orphan mentality. I don't have what it takes. I'm not enough. These mindsets will derail you in your walk with Christ. Now, Let's talk about how to renew our minds to live a limitless lifestyle to walk out everything Christ has called us to. All right, I want to give you 5 keys that will help you unlock a limitless lifestyle. The first key is this. We must understand how the mind works. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We must understand that there is a war for your mind. The devil wants to get into the subconscious of your mind to put his lies, deceptions, and his way of thinking to derail us in our walk with Christ. So we have to understand that our subconscious is like an autopilot, and we have to guard the spirit, the subconscious of our mind. What do I mean by that? If I had a desire to go to Hawaii and I pack all my bags, I'm excited, I get onto the airplane, and the airplane tells me that they're going to Hawaii. But if the autopilot is set to Antarctica, and all of a sudden I'm in my airplane, I'm enjoying the flight, and I start drifting towards Antarctica, then it doesn't matter that if I had a desire to go to Hawaii, it starts drifting. Why? Because the autopilot is set to Antarctica. In the same way, a lot of times as Christians, we try to behaviorally manage or change things. We're wondering, why do I keep acting this way? Well, because the autopilot is set towards that behavior. But when we change the way we think, we allow the word of God to renew and to bring healing and to change the way we think about that subject, that matter, that topic, or whatever it is, our behavior will begin to follow our thought patterns. So instead of trying to force the change, we must change the autopilot of our mind by renewing ourselves in God's word. And we also must guard against lies, other people's voice, and other people's voices that are contrary to God's truth. So the first key is we must understand how the mind works. The second key is this. We must accept full responsibility for our mind. Listen, you may have gotten a faulty program by the way that you were raised, the environment you were given, or the cards you were dealt, but only you can choose to reprogram your mind in Christ. You are responsible for renewing your mind in His Word. No one else can do that for you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Here's a question I have for you. What inner circle are you allowing to influence your subconscious? Is it ungodly advice from ungodly friends? Is it ungodly advice from carnal Christians? Are we allowing the news, the media, or secular music to shape our thoughts and the way that we think about life? Consider this quote from Bill Johnson. He says, "But if I have more input from mainstream media than I do from the Word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus, then my discouragement and lack of focus are my own doing. I have mandated a worldly view by my self-imposed feeding ritual. You are what you eat. And when we feed on the inferior realities of this world, we cannot be surprised that we fall short of the kingdom lifestyle we have been invited into." Man, that is so, so good. We are what we eat. We are what we meditate on. Who is influencing the autopilot of your mind? Let's talk about the third key. Repent and align your thoughts according to God's word. Matthew 4:17, Jesus told us, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word repent doesn't just mean to change your behavior. It means to change the way you think. When we repent from our sin, we're not just saying, "I'm not going to do it anymore." We're also saying, "I'm going to change the way I think about that sin. I'm going to consider that sin wrong, revile, and so forth." To change the way that we think. A lot of times I think that we repent from sin, but we don't actually repent when we encounter victories. Again, we need to repent to change the way we think. Miracles that we experience. Let's say, for example, you're crying out to God and you're saying, "God, please show up my finances." And all of a sudden, boom, God gives a miracle. He shows up supernaturally in your life. And you're like, "Wow, God, that was a miracle in my finances." God gave you that miracle for you to repent, to change the way you think, before you thought that God could barely provide. But that miracle just shows you that he is truly the God that provides everything. So in that moment as a believer, it's meant for me to actually change, to repent and change the way I think. From that miracle, I should go forward and now say God will always provide for all of my needs because I saw how he showed up in this situation. Too many times we as believers, we go after miracle, but we don't actually repent and allow God to change the way we think about who he is. We will always reflect the nature of the world that we are most aware of. In other words, if I'm more aware of my sinful nature and my shortcomings, I will continue to stumble into sin. But if I begin to meditate and align my thoughts with what God says about me, that I'm more than a conqueror, that sin has no more hold on me, that I begin to anchor into what God says, then I will begin to reflect the reality of that I am most aware of. Ephesians 4:24 again says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So we must learn new thinking patterns. And this requires repetition intensely. What do I mean by that? The mindsets that you are currently embracing right now, you've had for some time, I would say even decades, maybe 10, 20, depending on when you listen to this podcast, maybe 30 years, right? It's not going to just go away because you whisper one scripture. You have to be intentional to meditate on the scripture over and over and over. Put it on an index card and remember it and meditate on it over and over. You know, one of my pastors, she was talking about oftentimes whenever there's a new revelation, she wants to get into her spirit. She'll actually have that scripture play on repeat all throughout the night while she's sleeping. So it gets deep into her spirit. She wants to meditate it. Even when she's sleeping, she wants to meditate on the word of God. Again, that thought didn't just get there overnight. You're going to have to be intentional to drive that thought out by replacing it with the kingdom of God and his word and his truth, aka the Bible. So again, the key that I just gave you was to repent and to align your thoughts according to God's word. The fourth key is we must take every lie and ungodly thought captive. This is why Ephesians 4:22 says this, throw off your old nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. The old way of thinking is lustful and deceptive. This is why we must embrace new mindsets. In fact, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, in the Amplified Version, the Apostle Paul says this, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ. A simpler version says this, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I love it. My pastor says this, any lie that you don't take captive will take you captive. We can't just allow any old thought just to roll into our mind and just say, well, if it just popped in my mind, it must be from me. No, 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 no. Listen, just because you think it, it doesn't mean it's from God. There is an enemy of your soul named the devil who wants to drop his thoughts into your mind and to see if you embrace it. I heard it another way put like this. Birds could be flying over your head. Those could be lies, the enemy's thoughts. And they can even try to land on your head. But you have the power to determine if that bird can make a nest in your head. If you let it make a nest, then that bird will rest, that lie will rest there, and it will keep and it will do whatever it wants. Why? Because you allowed it to make a nest. But if you see a bird circling over your head and it tries to make a nest, you start shooing it away. You get rid of those thistles. You get rid of those lies. You take those thoughts captive. Listen to me. You can control your thoughts. Just because it lands there doesn't mean you have to embrace it. Here's something I learned and began to practice even in my own life. Sometimes a thought will try to come into my mind. Then I'm like, whoa, that is not for me. That is from the devil. And so I will literally say out loud, devil, I don't accept that. No, that's not my thought. I refuse to accept that thought. There'll be times I'll be in prayer, in worship, and all of a sudden a thought that is ungodly, that is perverted, will try to come into my mind. And I'll say, no, I don't accept that. That is not from you, God. I send back, I reject that. I give that back and send it. This is the mind of Christ. And then when God does speak, I embrace. I take God that's captive. And I say, God, I receive what you have for me. So every thought that you have, you bring it into the light of Christ. Is it true? Is it worthy? Is it praiseworthy? And if it is not, you dismiss it and you say, devil, this does not belong to me. My mind belongs to Jesus. Don't accept every thought as yours. Again, I want to repeat what my pastor said. Any lie that you don't take captive will take you captive. Now let's talk about the final key. Practice your language in harmony with God's word. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Listen, your words carry power. Whatever you speak, the spiritual realm is looking for agreement to bring that into pass, whether it's for good or whether it's for the bad. Your subconscious believes your voice more than anything else. Listen, if you are believing that God has called you to be fruitful, if you believe that God has called you to be holy, if you believe that you can do all things through Christ, that temptation is not your full story, that you can do, that nothing is impossible, then your words need to match what you truly believe. Why? Because we will actually reap the fruits of what we declare. You know, when my wife was teaching my sons to first learn how to read, because she homeschools, I remember, and one day, one of my particular sons were having a hard time reading, and he said, you know what, I just can't read, I can never do this. And I remember my wife specifically told him, don't say that, your words have power, son, do not say that. And it's true, and, you know, and I will follow up with my sons, and I'll tell them, hey, you will have what you say. A little bit, few months later, after that son began to hear himself read and he became a very good reader. One day we were walking and I said, son, you became a very good reader. And he said, yeah, Dad, I realized that my words really do carry power. I realized that the moment that I kept telling myself I could, I actually got better at reading. And so this is not a mind trick. It's not a Jedi trick. It came from the word of God. God says your words carry power and you will eat the fruit of your words. And so when we're believing God for something, for a situation, about another person, or about ourselves, we must practice our language. Our words must be in sync with what God is saying. I like it. Bill Johnson also said, I can't afford to have a thought about myself that God is not thinking about me. I would go further and say, man, I can't afford to say words about myself or someone else that God is not saying about that person or someone else. It is so important that we watch our language and let it be in harmony with what God is saying over a situation, over a people group, or over ourselves, because your words carry power. All right, what do we learn? We learned that we know how the mind works and that there is a war for our mind. Therefore, knowing how the mind works, we got to be more vigilant. The second thing we learned is that we are responsible for our minds. No one can renew our mind for us. We must do that ourselves. The third thing that we learned was that when we repent and we align our thoughts according to his word, we live a limitless lifestyle. We must take our thoughts captive, that are lies or ungodly thoughts. We must take them captive to the obedience of Christ. And the final key we learned was that when we practice our language in harmony with God, we walk into limitless lifestyles. All right, CVXA fam, that is all that I had for today's podcast. Thanks for going on this journey with me on exploring mindsets. I want to close by reading this scripture. The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 3, verse 20 through 21, God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. He does everything by his power that is at work in us, so he may receive glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in every generation forever and ever. Amen. We must remember that God wants to use our lives to see impossibilities bow to the name of Jesus Christ. We are called to live a supernatural life of demonstrating God's love and power to a world that is desperate to know him. And we can only do this when we are filled with his Holy Spirit and believe the exact promises that he's given us in his word. Thank you for taking time to listen today.
Thanks for receiving and applying what you learned today. Now go make disciples of all nations. Remember, you were born to reproduce. Go find, feed, and fight for the lost lambs of God on your campus.